Some of them double up and do other things, and all those working in children. Ridge and Kayla, they not only play up here, but they do our youth ministry, and they do it with excellence. And yeah, so thankful for them. It's just a blessing to have people just join in. And so we believe in being all in here at Discovery Church, and we've been talking about that, and God's got some great things coming up this year. Got some new ministries that we're not able to really announce yet. We just kind of want to wait a little bit and get them all together here and start them out. So, but some new ministries are going to be starting, and we're excited about that. And it's just going to be a great year coming up this year. And it's going to be a good year. Hallelujah. I'm just looking forward to it. Why don't you stand this morning in the meantime, or in the blessing time? I don't like to call it the mean time. I like to call it the blessing time. We are in the blessing time. How many know we are in the blessing time? Praise God. Amen. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. And we're entering the Christmas season, and it's kind of like, Thanksgiving. Christmas, and Thanksgiving shouldn't just be a day, but we celebrate the Lord's birth every day as believers, right? We give thanks to the Lord every day as believers. So there's not like a difference there. But we set aside a time and we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And really, I believe that Jesus wasn't probably born on the 25th of Christmas, of December. Amen. I believe he was born a couple months earlier. But anyway, we're going to look at some of the Christmas story this morning and talk a little bit about that. So let's look at Matthew 1:18. Follow along. Your Bibles are up here. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit." Well, that's a lot in that right there, and we may dig on that a little bit later on. "But then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and was not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly." So back then, they really, if you were engaged, betrothed, engaged, they took that very seriously. It was just like a covenant vow. It was just about like being married, but not, consummating the marriage. You were engaged. And so they took that very, very seriously. So he didn't want to put her away or cause shame finding out that she was already with child, right? So next verse. "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" Next verse. "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." He didn't say he's going to judge his people. Jesus didn't come to judge us. Jesus came to save us. Yeshua means to save. Jesus came to save us from our sins. Can somebody say amen? Wow, that is powerful right there. You got to get that. You got to get that in your spirit. He's not a judge. He's a savior. Praise the Lord. Next verse. I love this. "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, saying through the prophet." And this is what he said. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." Hold up your Bibles this morning and let's say it like we mean it today. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess. My mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. And I will never be the same. Never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to three or four people around you and say, "Emmanuel, God with you." Amen? Would you do that? Praise the Lord. God is so awesome. He is so good to us. And I love this portion of Scripture. It's a great, great revelation of God, revealing of God, revealing of Jesus Christ. And I used to ponder on this term, God with us. Has anybody else thought about this? I would think about it, and I would think, well, it was kind of simple. It was kind of a simple term like adios. If you speak Spanish, anybody speak Spanish in here? Adios, adios, adios. deity, God. God be with you. Adios is God be with you. Amen. Adios. Or I think, well, maybe it's just kind of like adios. God be with you, right? Just one of those kind of little terms, or vaya con Dios. Vaya con Dios. God be with you. Amen. You know, ciao. You know, but really, it's just so much deeper in that. And when I heard that, that's what I was kind of thinking when I kind of began to ponder. I said, well, Lord, what does this really mean? Amen. What does it mean for God to be with us? God is with us. Amen. That is powerful. And when I began to study out a little bit more in Scripture, and this was a prophetic word, by the way, that Isaiah spoke some 700 years prior to this, over in Isaiah 7:14, he spoke this word that a virgin is going to give birth, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. Man, I am telling you this morning, I am glad that God is with us. Amen. Aren't you glad? So I begin to do a little study, and I want you to go over to Genesis chapter 39, and let's look at verse 1 through 6. I don't know how far we'll get through this. We'll look at a couple other scriptures, but I want you to look at this. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. This is the story of Joseph. And he was at Potiphar, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. So Joseph was sold out by his brothers, you know, put in a pit, and from that pit he went to Potiphar's house. And he was a slave at this time. He was a slave in Potiphar's house. And when they sold slaves back then, they would put the slave on display and strip them down naked. So the people that were wanting to purchase a slave, they would examine them to make sure there were no diseases. So it was very humiliating what was going on. So here is Joseph sold into Potiphar's house, right, and becomes a slave under Potiphar. And Joseph had no savings account. Listen to me. He had no investments, right? He had no wife. His family had basically disowned him. He had absolutely nothing. But look at the next verse. The Lord was with Joseph. But the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a successful man. Wow, the Lord was with Joseph, and I think it's in the King James, it says he was a prosperous man. He was a successful man. God, oh, amen. When God looks at you this morning, when God sees you this morning, he sees you as a prosperous person. He sees you as a successful person. He sees you. You may not have all the money in the world. You may not have a lot of money. You may not have the finest wardrobes or all these things. But if you've got Jesus, he sees you as a successful human being. Amen? He was a prosperous man. That is God's definition of prosperity. God's definition of prosperity is Jesus living in you. It's Jesus in you. That's God's definition of prosperity. Because here Joseph had absolutely nothing, but the Lord was with Joseph. And because the Lord was with Joseph, he became prosperous. And he was prosperous before he had any material possessions. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you realize when you have Jesus, you are so prosperous in this life? Amen. And so I want to drift back here to Matthew. And I want to look at Matthew. Let's go back to Matthew there. Let's go back to Matthew again. And we're going to get down a little bit further in this. But I want to go back to Matthew and look at this again. And behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. And they shall call his name what? Emmanuel, which is what? God with us. So here Joseph found out that his engaged to be wife was expecting with child, and Joseph said, "Man, hold on a second. This something going on here, I'm a little smarter here than I think I'm just going to put her away. I'm just going to call this thing all off, right? This is going to be it, you know." So he has this dream. And the angel, this is the dream. Joseph is dreaming this dream, and he has this dream. And then this is what the angel says at the last of this dream. God with us. This child is God with us. Look at the next verse. Next verse. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. Woo! Said, "I'm going to take her." Why do you think he was going to take her? Because when the tradition that they knew, this saying of Emmanuel, the saying that was said over Joseph back there many, many years ago, that the Lord was with Joseph, he immediately knew that he was going to prosper if he took in this child and if he took in this mother. You got to have a Jewish mindset. Come on, man. He knew right then, God assured him that if you obey me, if you take this wife, if you take her unto yourself, you're going to be prosperous, not because of you, but because what you're taking in, because he was actually taking in the very Son of God, amen? And he knew that he was going to prosper, amen? I imagine he woke up and said, "Oh, come on, Mary, right now. Let's do this thing, amen? We're not going to wait any longer." Hallelujah. God is with you. Before God blesses anything in your life, your family, your possessions, you got to understand that you are a prosperous one because God is with you. That's what makes you prosperous. It's not all the stuff. It's what God has, and that God is with you. Because of Jesus in you, Emmanuel, you are prosperous. Man, he's preaching really good this morning. Hallelujah. Money does not satisfy. Some people think, money is the answer to all. Well, the Bible says money answers all things, but money doesn't satisfy. I want to tell you that. Money doesn't satisfy. Then people think, well, if I have looks, I'll be happy. No, I know that from experience. I'll just let you know, amen? No, it's amazing. it's amazing how much people spend on looks. And God wants you looking good. Turn to somebody and say, God does want you looking good. In fact, turn to somebody else and say, He really does want you looking good, amen? Man, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? So, amen, God wants you looking good. But listen, that's not the answer. The Lord was with Joseph. Go back over there to Deuteronomy. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord, Deuteronomy 39, the Lord was with Joseph. Amen? There you go. And he was a what? Successful man. So the Lord was this Joseph. Listen, before the blessings of Deuteronomy 28 come upon you, first of all, God blesses you. God blesses you because of Jesus in you. Amen? And God blesses us, and because of Jesus in us, we have all the other blessings that follow us. Amen? Deuteronomy 28. Let's look at that just a moment. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Because of Jesus in us, then we have all the other blessings that follow us. Listen, we don't chase blessings. Blessings chase us. We're already blessed, amen, and because we're already blessed, blessings follow after us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. But first, it's the blessing on you or the blessing in you. It's the blessing in you, Emmanuel, God with us, that causes all the other blessings of life to come up on you. Somebody say amen. Deuteronomy 28. Let's go through this real quickly. Deuteronomy 28, 1. Now it came to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, aren't you glad Jesus obeyed fully? Amen. Amen. And Jesus in you, praise God. And observe carefully all of his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high. Do you realize that God has already set you on high? Amen. We're not waiting to get set on high. We're already set on high. Ephesians 2, 6, 7, turn there. I want to go back to this, but Ephesians, I'm just going to show you some stuff here this morning. Ephesians 6, 2 and 7, or 2, 6, 7. Look at this. Ephesians 2, 6, 7. And raised us up together. Back up to verse 5. Back up to verse 5, if you would. Praise the Lord. Even when we were dead in trespasses, even when you were a rascal, the Bible says, God came and made you alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Not on our own, right? Next verse. And raised us up together and made us sit together. This is a prophetic fulfillment of Deuteronomy 28 chapter, amen, of the blessings of the Lord. And made us sit together where? In the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That at the ages to come, he might show exceedingly riches of favor and kindness towards who? Towards us in Christ Jesus. God is wanting to show us his immeasurable favor, kindness, and blessings in our life, not because of us, but because of our position, that we're resting in his grace, and we're resting in his love, and we're resting in his kindness, amen. And because we're in that position, all of these blessings come upon us. Woo! Come on, give him some praise if you believe that. Deuteronomy 28, verse 2. Look at this. Deuteronomy. And some of these blessings. Oh, you guys are really good. Amen. A few of these blessings. And all of these blessings shall come up on you and overtake you. Anybody ever been to the Bahamas? Anybody ever been to the Bahamas? If you drive in the Bahamas, you know what they're passing signs. You know, we say, you know, do not pass. In the Bahamas, they say, do not overtake. Do not overtake. You know, listen, these blessings are going to come on you and pass, surpass anything you can think about or imagine. Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. He's already there in us, right? Next verse, look at this. Amen. Blessed shall you be in the city. Everybody say, location, location, location. Yeah, I think we have three or four realtors in our midst, maybe five. I don't know, but I hear from realtors all the time. They'll talk about you know what's the value of your property? Well, location, location, location. Right? Here's the thing. Here's the thing about who you are and what God has for you. No matter what location you are in, no matter what city you are in, no matter where you go, you are blessed because you are there because of Jesus in you. That city is blessed because you're in the city. When you ladies go shopping in those boutiques that you do, and I know you do, or those places you go shopping, that place is automatically blessed because you walk through their door. Amen. It's the blessing in you and on you that causes the blessing around you and the blessing to others. When you walk on that job in the morning, if you work or if you're an entrepreneur, wherever you walk through that door, we got people here that work for Eli Lilly. I want to tell you, Eli Lilly is blessed because those people are working there. A lot of people don't even realize this. What's going on? What's happening with my company? Well, the reason it's blessed, because no doubt there's some people that are blessed in that company. Woo! So in the city, and you should be blessed in the country, y'all. For all of you that listen to that, y'all country music, y'all blessed. Amen. For y'all live in the country, y'all, that country's blessed because of you. Blessed should be the fruit of your body, our children, our grandchildren. See, the blessing flows down. The blessing just flows down to generations. If you're blessed, your kids are going to be blessed. If you have Jesus, your family's going to be blessed. Your grandkids are going to be blessed. Your in-laws are going to be blessed. Your outlaws are going to be blessed. Why? Because the blessing's on you, and it's in you. The produce of your ground, you farmers, the increase of your herds, your cattlemen, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Oh, look at this. Blessed should your basket and your kneading bowl be. Man, that's awesome. I love good biscuits. Amen. Next one, you got to have anointing on you. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. Come on, you got to believe this. See, part of it, we don't believe it. And I'm going to tell you in a few minutes why we don't believe it. But most of the time, we don't believe this. You've got to believe it. You've got to understand this is your rightful place in Jesus Christ to be blessed, not because of you or your talent. It's because of Jesus in you. Next verse. Amen. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you. So you don't be worrying about when people start talking about you because how blessed you are. Oh, man. You know, people will do that. You start driving a new car and say, well, how'd they get that car? I wonder how they got that car. Wait till you start flying that jet. Then they're going to say, I wonder how they got that jet. How'd he get that new set of golf clubs? How'd she get that new dress? Don't you worry about it. You know what? Listen to me. We are to be so blessed, the body of Christ, that we provoke the Jewish nation to jealousy. Wow. I heard the other day that the Notre Dame, Brian Kelly, the Notre Dame football coach, left Notre Dame to go to LSU, and he left, and they gave him $900 and almost $80 million plus incentives for the next 10 years as a stupid football coach. It's like, and the world goes, whoa, woo! But let a businessman who's a believer get blessed and all of a sudden gain wealth, and the world goes, look at them. What are they doing? Amen. I believe the greatest blessing of the Lord is coming upon the body of Christ. Amen. I believe that God is going to be opening up heaven for the body of Christ and blessing people who are givers and lovers of God and knowing that God loves them. I believe there's going to be such an anointing to get wealth in this last day. It's just going to blow the world away. And the church is going to rise up because it takes money in the body of Christ to get the message out throughout the world. I believe God's going to bless ministries and people, and man, debt freedom is going to be taking place in your lives. Amen. You're no longer going to be owing a mortgage, but you're going to be owning. Come on, somebody. Anybody believe that with Pastor today? I believe that. Amen. Why? Because the blessing of the Lord, the Bible says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow to it. They shall come against you one way, but flee how many ways? Seven ways. Amen. Seven ways. Next verse. Amen. The Lord will command. The Lord will command, what? Command the blessing on you, on you. Turn to somebody and say, you, and in your storehouses. In other words, you're going to have so much, you've got to have some storehouses to contain it. And in all to which you set your hand, he will bless you in the land with the Lord your God is giving you. He said everything, you kind of like the Midas touch, right? Everything you put your hand to, the Bible says, is going to prosper. You know, Jesus had this same anointing. Wherever he went, people prospered in life. God healed them. Amen? He laid his hands on them. And everything Jesus touched prospered. Wow. Amen. Acts 10:38, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. The leper was without work, couldn't do for his family, couldn't do anything. He was outcast from society, but Jesus laid his hand on him and he prospered. Woo! God healed him and he got up and he prospered. Amen. Praise the Lord. All through the Bible, we see Jesus laying his hand on blind Bartimaeus, and his eyes was open. He couldn't see. He was blind. He couldn't work. He couldn't provide. But all of a sudden, the touch from Jesus, amen, because of the anointing on Jesus, that same anointing that is in you, amen, when you touch people, when you go around doing good to people and laying hands on them, they're going to be healed. Sickness is going to flee because of Jesus in you. Wow, amen and amen and amen. Well, you know what gets so many people hung up, though, is they say, well, Pastor, I'm just not worthy. I've blown it with God. Turn real quick to Luke 5. Let's look at this story. Luke 5, verse 1. I'm going to give you a few more verses, but I want you to get this. Luke 5, verse 1. So it was, as a multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out from them and were washing their nets. Can we put this up in the King James instead of the New King James? Can you just, King James, please, if you can? Thank you. So you can go on down to verse 2 or 3 now. Amen. Their nets, next verse. And he entered into one of the ships. Everybody say he entered. He entered to one of the ships, which was Simon's. Simon was a disciple, but he was a professional fisherman, right? He was a businessman. It's okay to be a businessman. It's okay. And prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down. Jesus, I love Jesus, man. He just sat down and taught the people out of the ship, right? Next verse. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a drought. Nets. Everybody say nets. How many is nets? How many know nets is more than one? Nets, right? For a drought. He gave him a word. He said, get ready, man. You get ready, right? Get ready. You're getting ready to be blessed, right? So listen to what Simon said. Here's Simon, right? Here he goes. Next verse. Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night. We have taken nothing. Nevertheless, have you ever felt like, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the what? Now, I looked this up. I wanted to be grammatically correct on this, so I got Young's Literal Translation, and I looked it up. You know, what did Jesus say for Simon to do, to let down the nets? Jesus is always wanting to give more than we're expecting. Amen? Jesus is always wanting to just pour. The Bible says he daily loads us with benefits, right? I will let down the net. Next verse. And when he had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish. Is, I love it, fishes. And their net break. Wow. I mean, when this happened, all of a sudden, all of this fish came into the net, and the net break. It was just over because God said, let down the nets, right? Next verse. Amen. And when they and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they begin to, come on, turn to somebody and say, God's got a great economy. God's got a great economy, man. Amen. They begin to sink. Wow. Now listen, here's where most people's problem is. Look at this next verse. When Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord. Wow. See, what holds up blessings so many times in our life is not Jesus, it's us and our view of who we are in Christ. I want to tell you this morning, Jesus would have never got on the boat in the first place if sin was the problem. Right? And here's another thing. Get Jesus on your boat. Put Jesus in your boat. Put Jesus in your family. Amen? Depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord. Wow. Look at this, next verse. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. Right? I love this. For those of you that have trouble with English, it's okay, right? So it gives you grace right here. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. He had a business going on. And Jesus said unto Simon, now, he wasn't saying, don't fear the fish. He wasn't afraid of the fish. What was he saying? Don't fear me, Peter. Have no fear with me, Peter. I'm a sinful man. No, have no fear with me, Peter. Amen. Have no fear with me. Amen. Come on, Peter. I'm here to partner with you, buddy. Amen. For henceforth, in fact, you're going to catch men. Amen. Hey, I'm calling you, Peter. Don't fear. Let me tell you something about sin. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Amen. Where sin abounds, where failure abounds, grace does much more abound. And when you look at that much more, it's hyper. It's like hyper grace is abounding. Now I know some of the people out there, they think, oh, you're all about hyper grace. I am. Because I'm about Jesus. Amen. And Jesus is hyper grace. And Paul wrote, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And what I'm saying, people will think, well, you're just giving people a license to sin. No, they don't need a license. They do it anyway, right? No. That's not the point. When you know how much God loves you, when you know how much grace is available to you, it's not that you're going to go out there and sin. No, you're going to be so thankful in your life, you'll do good automatically much better than you did on purpose any other time. Because you realize what God has done for you and how much God has blessed you. And it's right here. It's the goodness of God. And what Peter was actually doing is, Lord, I repent because I see the goodness of God in my life. And Jesus said, hey, Peter, don't be afraid. The blessing was on Jesus because he got in the boat. And when he got in the boat, the blessing was on Peter. And when the blessing was on Peter, he couldn't help but be blessed. You cannot help but be blessed when Jesus is in your life. Emmanuel, God is with us. Amen. When you begin to realize how much you're forgiven, you begin to walk in that forgiveness. You begin to walk in that forgiveness. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Praise God. Come on, give God some praise today. Amen. He is so good. Hallelujah. I want you to turn to five people real quick and say, I'm blessed, blessed, blessed. Would you do that? Turn to somebody else and say, I'm blessed coming in, and I'm blessed going out. Come on, turn to somebody else and say, I'm blessed coming in, and I'm blessed going out. Say, I'm blessed in the city, and I'm blessed in the field. Say, Emmanuel, God is with me. Now listen to me. If God is for us, who can be against us? Sickness cannot be against us if God is for us. Poverty cannot be against us if God is for us. Disease cannot be against us if God is for us. I believe God is for us. I believe healing is here right now. You know why I believe that? Because Jesus is here right now. Amen. And I know Kay gave a word this morning and a restoration. And we serve a God of restoration and health and wholeness. And right here. In fact, I don't have to even pray for you because God is in you. If you need prayer, we'll be glad to pray for you. But I want you to lift your hands this morning and just declare out of your mouth, I am the blessed of the Lord. I am the favored of the Lord. I am the healed of the Lord. I walk in God's blessing. God's blessing is on me because Jesus is in me. I believe that. I receive that. I thank the Lord for that. Everywhere I go, I'm blessed. Let me tell you something. That place of employment is not the place of blessing. Because you can leave that place of employment and take the blessing with you. Because the blessing's on you, not in that place. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. The blessing is on you. Wherever you go, you're blessed. And in this Christmas season, wherever you go, I want you to be remindful of what God has in you so that you can bless others. The blessing is never for just you. The blessing is to bless others with this morning. Amen. Listen, if you need additional prayer this morning, Crystal is in room 3. We are so blessed you're here. And before you go today, oh man, just give God a shout of hallelujah this morning. Can we do that? Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, give him some praise today. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Bye.